TV.
Okay, it's 5:45 a.m. here on a Wednesday. I have to be quiet because my son-in-law's room is right there. I couldn't record yesterday because of the issue. Over here, it's a literal issue. For those of you who are morbidly curious about this cyst that has formed ahead and is continuously leaking, here's a nice photo for you that I just took. So this is going to be going on throughout the show. Sorry, it's gross. I'm going to try to keep the microphone over here for you. But I had a really an amazing session with Sasha yesterday. It was a three-hour treatment. I'll explain it to you more later when I have more energy, when I'm not in such pain right now. Even though I'm on three different pain meds, it burns like a fire over here. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, but the show must go on. The show will go on. It was an electricity treatment. I was holding, well, first of all, they put these coils, these wire coils on one side of my face for 6 minutes. And then the same coil wire on the other side of my face for 6 minutes. Then I lay down and I had this red light, this box about this big, and it was sitting on top of my neck. And I was holding on to two electrodes that was generating quite a bit of electricity, as much as I could handle. Like, it was, and it was pulsating every 5 seconds, and each pulse was maybe 3 seconds in length. And since we're leaving on Saturday, and since I had to kind of compress this treatment, I needed five of these treatments. I took two of them yesterday. So I was getting this electric treatment for 2 hours. It wasn't uncomfortable, but it wasn't comfortable because at the same time this cyst was growing and growing and becoming more painful, more concentrated, more painful. The cysts are the result of the fact that I had 31 lymph nodes removed, and the lymph nodes usually siphon the fluid out of the body, and the fluid has nowhere to go, so it forms these cysts. So there's something that can be done about that, and we're going to go to Fort Lauderdale and do that. As I told you, I have been disabused of my opinion that all Peruvian doctors are natural and pure and holy. They are not. You know, the Hippocratic Oath, named after Hippocrates, the Greek philosopher and physician who has been credited as being the father of modern medicine. There's a Hippocratic Oath associated with him, and one of the premier principles of that oath is, first, do no harm. Do no harm. And I'm afraid that modern medicine does not follow that very first principle. They harm the body in their efforts to heal the body, which is kind of like sending a wrecking ball into a china shop. You have a china shop with delicate articles and cups and saucers, but there's one in there that's plastic. There's one bad cup. But instead of going to get the one bad cup, they send the wrecking ball in. They destroy the whole system, and they say, "Well, we got the plastic cup." Yeah. But see, this treatment yesterday did no harm. Can only help. It was regenerating my cells. It was stimulating my cell activity. at a very basic level, at the cellular level, obviously, but there's no side effects to it, you see. So it can only help. It doesn't harm. And I think of the gospel, I think of our gospel, and as compared to the Christian gospel, first, do no harm. The first thing is, do no harm to the reputation of God. And yet Christianity thinks that they must destroy sin, they must destroy the devil. And so they turn God into a monster wrecking ball, really, who just, in order to get a few people into his kingdom, must destroy the rest. And this is why I see these parallels between modern religion and modern medicine. It's this careless wrecking of what is good in order to get what they think is the one thing that's bad. And in the case of religion, the one thing that's bad is sin, but Christ has already taken care of it. And he did it exactly. And he did it, you might say, scientifically. He did it accurately. And he didn't have to destroy the human race to do it. In fact, the result of it is he saved the human race. And so I see these parallels. And I see these doctors just have one opinion. Go in, and if we have to destroy 1,000 healthy cells to get that one bad cell, we'll do it. We will do it. If we have to compromise your immune system, we'll do it. If we have to kind of narrow your carotid artery or cause inflammation of your heart, or if we have to give you temporary hearing loss or permanent hearing loss, whatever we have to do, we will do it. Because our system is a wrecking ball. But this goes against the Hippocratic Oath, doesn't it? First, do no harm. Do everything you can to help. Find ways, find systems that will reach the cellular level while doing the rest of the body no harm. And again, in religion, I'm afraid it's the same sad system of, we don't care what it takes. If we have to eternally torment most of humanity, if God has to eternally torment most of humanity because they're so stubborn, then so be it. He's going to do it in order to find the handful of people who will obey him. Out of what? Fear. Out of dread. Out of, thank God he didn't torture me in hell for eternity. All right, let's turn a page. I'm going to try to make this a short video, but you know I'm rarely successful along that line. Where I left off was in Daniel chapter 12, talking about the end times. Talked about Michael, the archangel, standing up for the people, the great chief who was standing over the sons of Israel. Talked about an era of distress coming to pass. This is prophecy concerning the tribulation. But in that era, your people shall escape, all those found in the scroll of life. Actually, the text reads, all those found written in the scroll. From those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. Talked about this yesterday. These to aeonian life, these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. And thank you all for your thoughts yesterday on the video. I always love reading your posts. And I love that this is a contributory channel, and that I have the smartest audience on YouTube. And many times I get ideas for shows because of your comments. They're so good, and I love them. I love you. for hanging with me. It's not always going to be like this. Things are going to get fixed. Like I say, I have to get 5 treatments in before Saturday, so I doubled up yesterday. I'm going back today for the same thing, which is going to be tough because of this thing. But I can do it. I'm tough too. And then Friday, 1 treatment. That'll give me 5 treatments. And then Saturday, we come home. And we're both looking forward to getting home. And my wife, Maria, she set me up last night. She cleaned this. She bandaged it. She set me up in bed so that I was in an upright position so that things could drain, but so I didn't have to lay on it. And she was just so careful about my care. Now, I might start to cry if I talk about it too much, but what an angel. What an angel. Thank God for her. And I think she might be coming to the conference in Kansas City. Well, by the way, I have to say this. Today is April 23rd. This is your last day to register at the hotel to get the discount rate. So don't wait another day because it'll be too late. Tomorrow will be too late. This is the 23rd. This is the deadline. It doesn't mean that you can't come to the conference if you missed the deadline of the hotel today. It just means you won't be able to stay at the venue at a discount rate. And I know you want to do that. So go to martincenter.com. You'll see the link to Kansas City, Missouri conference information. Click there. Get the hotel number. Call them. Get your reservations made today, folks. Don't wait. Don't be a procrastinator like I am. Although, if you are a procrastinator, today's the day you'll do it. If you haven't thought about going to the conference before, sign up now. You won't regret it. It's one of the greatest things you'll experience. Verse 3, Daniel 12, the intelligent shall warn as the warning of the atmosphere, and those turning many to righteousness will be as the stars for the eon and further. Now here's the new territory that I thought I was going to get into yesterday, but I didn't. Now you, Daniel, stop up the words and seal the scroll until the era of the end, when many shall swerve. Oh, what an interesting word that is. Many shall swerve as evil shall increase. Now, most versions say knowledge shall increase. And I thought to myself, why does Concordant put evil here? Because this is not the Hebrew word for evil. The Hebrew word for evil is ra, R-A. The word here is dath, D-A-A-T-H. It means knowledge. So why in the world, and it, if you look at the Concordant version of the Old Testament, even in the electronic online version, you will see a footnote here for Daniel 12:4, and it says, Hebrew, knowledge. So if I had Mr. A. Enoch here sitting next to me, I would say, why did you put evil instead of knowledge? You put knowledge in the footnote. And that indeed is the Hebrew word, which is dath, D-A-A-T-H. Well, it's because of the Septuagint. They even admit that it's conjecture. Enoch admits that this reading is conjecture. It's based on the Septuagint, that is the Greek version of the Old Testament written in Alexandria in between 2 and 3 BC. Our Lord probably read the Septuagint, and the disciples read the Septuagint, but that's one witness. We have other witnesses, and the biggest witness in my mind is that the Hebrew word is knowledge. So I'm rejecting the Concordant version in the text, and I'm taking the footnote. Knowledge shall increase. What kind of knowledge will increase? The knowledge we talked about 2 days ago. Worldly knowledge. Knowledge of science, knowledge of technology, knowledge of human nature, what have you. But for all the vaunted knowledge of humanity, are they any wiser? And let me say something about Sasha, going back to him. Many doctors are intelligent. I will give them that. But I must tell you this from my experience. Not many have wisdom. Wisdom is far more important than knowledge. Or let me say it this way. Wisdom needs to go hand in hand with knowledge. And while many of the mainstream doctors and surgeons have plenty of knowledge, they lack wisdom. What Sasha has is this quiet wisdom that goes down deep, deep, deep to the source of the problem on a molecular level, on a cellular level. And I like that. And I was at such peace yesterday during that treatment. My wife took a video while I was undergoing this. Maria took a video. I don't know. I'll show it to you tomorrow, maybe. I just don't have that. I got time issues because it's an hour later in Ohio, where Kelly is, to get the video to you, so I don't want it to be too late, but I'll share that with you later, okay, when I feel a little better. So it's the worldly knowledge that will increase, but with knowledge does not come wisdom. The world is getting smarter and smarter and dumber at the same time because they lack wisdom. I'm going to get back to the most important aspect of knowledge, because some people say that the knowledge being spoken of here, knowledge shall increase, is knowledge of this prophecy. And I think there's some legitimacy to that. Knowledge of this prophecy. I'm going to get back to that. Remind me, okay? Many shall swerve. To swerve is to be on a path and to go against the path, to circumvent the path, to go off of the path. You can't swerve unless you're on a path. And we see many today in the body of Christ swerving as to the truth, having been on the path. My friend Dan Sheridan, for instance, on the path, claimed that God was in control of everything, the sovereignty of God, one of his most beautiful truths, one of the most beautiful truths there is. And then 2 weeks later, after a consequential conference in Birmingham, Alabama, he came out and said, well, I changed my mind. God doesn't know everything. God has to find out what's going to happen next, right along with his creation. I said, what? There's a name for that. It's called open theism. And Dan no longer thought Paul had a separate evangelism. That's called swerving. And we know Clyde Pilkington recently swerved, gave up the word grace, and replaced it with joy. And now there's no longer anyone who's not worthy of the goodness of God. We're all worthy of it. So grace is gone, replaced it with joy, which is not what they say it is. Joy is an inner knowing the truth. Even though you might not be happy on the outside, you have this inner peace and joy. They think joy is wearing a Hawaiian shirt and smiling. Okay? That's not joy. And we know the world is swerving. Paul predicted it. 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, perilous periods would be present. This word swerve, let's look at it. It's the Greek word astakio. I guess there's an O there. Let me try that again. Astakio. That's the Greek word for swerve. Listen to the English element of this word. Be un in a row. five-part English element because it's a five-part Greek word. That's a lot of action for a small Greek word. Be un in a row, to be not in a row, to swerve. And I find that many people do not want to be in a row. Many people in the body of Christ are uncomfortable that we should all come to a unity of the faith, to a unity of the teaching. They feel like they're, they have this rebellious streak in them. And they look around and they're marching with everyone else, which is the idea, the ideal. But they don't like that. So they want to be in a row. They want to step out of the row and be special. They want to step out of the row and have a new revelation. They want to step out of the row of sound teaching and establish themselves as mavericks who have a new teaching. Follow me. The old way is dusty. Martin Sender's the caretaker of the cobwebs over there and the ancient vases and the old way. But we have exciting new revelations for you. No, it's swerving on in a row. Along that line, I want to share some verses with you. The first one would be 1 Timothy 6:21. O Timothy, that which is committed to you, guard. You see, I take this to myself. I take this to myself. The truth that has been committed to me, I guard it. Turning aside from profane prattlings. Prattling is just blah, 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 this. Prattling, talking into the air. Just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and not saying anything. Profane prattlings. And antipathies. Another great word, unusual word on antipathy. The Greek word is antithesis. And it means instead placing. Profane prattlings, going on and on and on, talking and talking. Forming a task force and talking and talking. And antipathies. Instead placing, it goes right along with be un in a row. To be somewhere else instead. Not to be placed. You see, we, ladies and gentlemen, are rooted and grounded in the truth. And we will not be budged from the truth. In order for someone to help us see that we're wrong and that something else is right, they have to be coming with solid scripture. They have to be obeying every law of language and every rule of scriptural interpretation. And if they're not, we can spot it because we're experienced over the years, the decades, and we have built-in bullshit detectors. And we can tell when someone is just wanting to get out of the row to be different. We can tell when someone is tired of being placed in the same place and they want to go somewhere else instead. That is antipathy. Listen to this. I'm still in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, let me start it over. That which is committed to you, guard, turning aside from profane prattlings and antipathies of falsely named knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Daniel says, knowledge shall increase. And I believe it also includes falsely named knowledge. These sect makers in the body of Christ, whether it's the Tories, whether it's Clyde with his We All Must Die and all these other things, they are falsely named knowledge, but it is not knowledge. It's profane prattling and it's instead placing. And it's getting out of line. You see, just by saying that, people think, well, I don't want to be in line. I'm going to be different. I want to be a maverick. I want to stand out. I don't want to wear the same uniform as everyone else. Paul said, come to a unity of the teaching, that we all may be saying the same thing, that we all may be in a row. That's the ideal. But the human tends to bristle at that because they seem to be compromising, and they can't stand out that way. They can't gather disciples to themselves that way. So they talk and talk and talk, vain prattling, and they place themselves somewhere else instead of in the row where the truth is. And some people follow them. But it is my job to guard against that happening, to call it out when I see it. Falsely named knowledge, which some are professing. And this, Paul said, will happen in the end times. And this is part of Daniel's prophecy. Many shall swerve. It's not just the world. We know the world is swerving. But in a way, this applies more to the faith, swerving as to the faith, than it does to the world. Because to swerve, you have to be on a path. The world, what kind of path is the world on? They're in chaos. They play every day like a roulette game. They're not on a path. They're just hoping for the best. Throwing darts, hoping they stick. Throwing darts blindfolded. Swerving has to do with being on a path and going off of it. So this falsely named knowledge, Paul says, verse 21, which some are professing as to the faith, they swerve. There it is, exactly what I'm telling you. As to the faith, they swerve. Here's the faith, here's the row, here's them. Changing the definitions of words, changing established truth that has been established by men of God who have translated the very scriptures using a method of sound words. It's just sad. As to the faith, they swerve. And this is part of the end time prophecy of Daniel. Many shall swerve. The King James says, many shall go to and fro. And so most Christian commentators see this as travel, people going here and there and here and there, back and forth. No, it's not that. Many shall swerve. As knowledge shall increase. How ironic is that? Knowledge is increasing. Knowledge of the world around us, but wisdom is not increasing. And this falsely named knowledge, not only in the world, but I think especially in the ecclesias, is causing many, many to swerve, so that it is only the few who remain in the row, and we're looked upon as the old fogies, as the old-fashioned people, the old-school people. We're not sympathetic to new ideas. We're not very exciting. We're not very fun. Why can't we be more exciting? Why do we have to say the same things every day? Why? Because that's the right way. That's what Paul wanted. 2 Timothy 3:1. Of course, this is the big swerve. In the last day, perilous periods will be present. And he goes on and on about all these terrible things. But the last verse, verse 7, speaking of those who are always learning, yet not at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. One more verse, real quick. 2 Timothy 2:18. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll end with this quickly. Paul says, do not be heeding myths and endless genealogies, which are affording exactions rather than God's administration, which is in faith. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. Exactions is a great word. It's a great word. Now, the consummation of the charge is love out of a clean heart and a good conscience and unfeigned faith. from which some swerving were turned aside into vain prating. Prattling and prating, two different words, going to give you the difference tomorrow. Wanting to be teachers of the law, but not apprehending either what they are saying or that concerning which they are insisting. I think immediately of the Tories. Wanting to be teachers, but not apprehending either what they are saying or concerning that which they are insisting. We are living in these days. The details are scary, but we have Christ, and upon the solid rock we stand.